The last few episodes, the bit before the theme music, has been a bit lackluster. So I thought this week, what I'd do is use this time to sing you a song. So I'm going to sing the Christmas song by Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols are being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode of the Total Christmas... I'll edit that bit in later, the whatever episode number it is. Episode whatever of a Total Christmas Podcast. The Total Christmas Podcast, not a total... I'm off to a flying start, aren't I? What a shambles this is. Just a heads up, kids. I'm recording this a bit earlier than normal. It's actually rush hour outside, so you're going to be hearing more traffic in the background than usual, which, you know, traffic sounds or my podcast, I think... Really, a lot of you would prefer to listen to traffic noises. So, you know, some of you are going to think that's a good thing. And some of you won't. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to start by saying I got a fantastic email from Scott Newman, the host of Jingle Jank, Tinsel Tunes, and our US correspondent. And he has said, right, we recently adopted two orange tabby kittens and our two existing cats are not thrilled about it. One or more of them has started peeing in the closet and it's my job to clean it up. I was listening to your podcast while cleaning it tonight and I can now tell you from experience that your podcast, this is the good bit, are you ready? That your podcast is the perfect show to listen to while cleaning cat piss. How's that, kids? The perfect show. So if you know anyone that's got a cat that's urinating in places it shouldn't be, just say, oh, I've got the perfect podcast for while you're doing that. My cats, we got two cats, they're frequently weeing where they shouldn't be. I don't listen to my own podcast once it's been out there. I try and forget it ever happened. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's good to know, isn't it? So again, this is the podcast to listen to while cleaning up cat urine. I say urine, Scott says piss, because he's got no class. But he's a great guy, so there's that. So one last time, to clarify, the Total Christmas Podcast is the perfect podcast to listen to when cleaning up cat piss. That's pretty much it for the intro. I don't think I've got anything else to deal with. So let's get started with this. So after last week, when I shamed Frank the Tank, our Curious Christmas Customs correspondent, for not sending in any Curious Christmas Customs for a while, he got back to me saying, okay, he's on the case and he does feel guilty. So good work for feeling guilty. That's what I'm here for, to make people feel guilty. But this week he sent me some stuff that's going to be a little bit different. So what it is these are regular customs from the US. And he was wondering if this is the sort of thing that we do in the UK. So I'm going to read them out, each one of the four he sent through. And then I'm going to tell you if it's something we do or if it's something we don't do. Got it? Of course you have. It's pretty straightforward. So the first one is ugly Christmas sweater parties. So it's put, people find and wear outrageous Christmas-themed sweaters to a Christmas party. It has sparked a new industry. Just look on Amazon. Now, yeah, I can say straight up, yes, that is something we do in the UK. I've never actually been to a Christmas sweater party where, you know, the theme was everyone wore an ugly Christmas sweater. But I have got my own Christmas sweater. I've only got one Christmas sweater that I wear. I tell you what, I love it though, because it's really warm. It's really thick. It's like, I could go to the North Pole in it. It's that thick. It's lovely. Lovely and toasty it is. I know this is sort of like a fairly recent custom that a lot of people have been doing. And part of me thinks like it sort of half originated with the Bridget Jones movie where Colin Firth's wearing one at the start, but I don't think that's true. I have heard other podcasts talk about the history of ugly sweaters, and it is something I did consider talking about myself, but because it's been covered by other podcasts, I don't know, maybe I'll look at it another time. But yes, we do wear ugly Christmas sweaters. Personally, though, I don't think mine is ugly. I think mine's just really festive. But, yeah. So the second one is holiday marathon runs. Frank says, I'm not sure what running has to do with Christmas, but even in my small town of 1,000 people, we have a Christmas 5K. People dress up in costumes and run around our town, stopping for cookies and milk. It usually ends at the bar. And he's put in brackets, pub, because I don't know what a bar is. Of course I know what a bar is. Yeah, do you know what's funny? Because I said to Carla about this, my wife, and I was like, yeah, it's not really a thing we do, is it? And Carla was like, yes, we do. And just down the road from us, where my wife goes every Christmas day, because it's where her nan's ashes were scattered, she goes there with her mum to sort of, you know, wish her nan a Merry Christmas, I guess. They have a run around that park. And I didn't know about that, which is interesting. I don't think it's been going that long, but yeah, they do it. They've got other sort of similar things where people go for like a Christmas swim as well. I think Bournemouth Beach, which is not that far from me, and people swim in the Serpentine, which is a pond in Hyde Park in London. I'm not sure if they're as popular here in the UK as they are in the US, but it is something that does happen. Frank hasn't specified if it happens on Christmas Day. He's just said it's Christmas, so it could be around Christmas time. I don't know, but he says it usually ends at the bar or pub. And yeah, a lot of pubs are open just for like lunchtime drinks on Christmas Day. So I suppose, yeah, that could happen. Yeah, but not, I don't think it's as popular, but yeah, it's something that does happen. So yeah, tick for that one as well. The next one up is Mall Santas. Now he's put, think the Santa boot to the face scene from A Christmas Story. Every year we take impressionable small children and put them on a stranger's lap for a photo in a shopping mall. Actually, most large Christmas parties put on by a group, church, business or local government will have a Santa. The internet makes it sound American, but I find that hard to believe. Yeah, that is hard to believe because we have Santas everywhere. I'm just trying to think how many Santas the girls saw this Christmas just gone. I know it was at least two. Yeah, I don't know if there's any more. I remember I was there for two of them, so I don't know if there's any more than that. Nope, three. I remember seeing three. Yeah. Normally in shopping centres, most big shopping centres will have one, or as you'd call it, a mall. We have a lot of Christmas fairs and stuff like that. There'll be a Santa there. And every year we go to a pub not far from us. They have like carol singing early on in the evening, and then Santa Claus turns up and brings all the kids a present. And yeah, most schools will do a sort of event where there's a Santa Claus of some description. So yes, that's again definitely one that we have here in the UK. Don't see them like you always see in the movies, you know, there's Santa Claus ringing a bell in the street with like a cauldron to collect money. We don't really have that, not guys collecting charity. I've never really seen that in the UK. But otherwise, yes, we have our mall Santas. Interesting, though, he said about sitting on a Santa's lap. Don't think the girls have ever sat on Santa's lap. I think they sort of sit next to him. I remember when I was a kid, you'd sit on Santa's lap, but I guess they've sort of changed over the years. That's not something we do anymore. But yes, a tick again for that one. And the final one is popcorn strings on a Christmas tree. You pop popcorn and thread it on the strings to make a garland for your tree. Once Christmas is over, you put it outside for the birds. I've done this when I was a child, but never knew it was an American thing. Well, I've never done it. And I don't think I've ever seen a Christmas tree in the UK with popcorn on it. I may have, but I don't think I have. But I was definitely aware of this tradition. You know, it's one of those things you see in a lot of movies or TV shows set at Christmas time. I think there was an episode of Happy Days, I could be wrong about this, where it's Christmas and they invite the Fonz in for Christmas and he's there, he's doing it over the fire. He's like trying to pop the popcorn over the fire in like a pan. And I think Mr. Cunningham was a bit annoyed about it because that's his job every year, but like the Fonz is doing it, and I'm guessing they were going to thread that onto strings for the Christmas tree. One thing I didn't know was that you put it out for birds afterwards. I sort of wondered what would happen to it because it is something that would decompose. I didn't think it was something you'd use every year, so I wondered what happened to it, and I sort of thought maybe people ate it, but obviously not. Nope, you give it out for the birds, which is nice, especially in winter when there's less food for them. So yeah, that is a cross. We don't do that in the UK. So there we go. Frank, I really do appreciate you sending those through. If you've got any more, send them through. And any listeners, if you've got any customs, you want to check if it's something that's just something that you do in your country, drop me an email, tell me what it is, and I'll tell you if it's something we do or if we don't. Yeah, there we go. Now it's time for this. I haven't done one of these for a while. This is the Christmas Not So Classic, and I'm going to play a song that I think should be a classic, but isn't. And this one, you'll definitely recognise it if you listen to the show, because I've used it for one of my jingles, and it's called It's Christmas All Over the World by Sheena Easton. Here's a bit for you. I want to give my personal history with this song. I bloomin' love it, and I actually have it as part of my Christmas soundtrack that I listen to every year. I think this song should be a classic. I think everyone should know it and listen to it, but I don't think that many people do know it, which is a real shame, because it is a glorious song. The lyrics aren't that great, but it's like a real power ballad, and you don't get that many sort of 80s power ballads as Christmas songs. That's something that we're all lacking, I think. Let me give you a few of the lyrics. Oh, I could just play it, actually, couldn't I? It's easier if I just play the lyrics. Well, have a listen to this. This is the verse. All my life, I tried to do what's right. First stars see tonight. Make my wish come true. Why can't we join hands around one tree? Let live and let it be. So there's two verses, and they're both very similar, actually. They sort of repeat themselves a bit. Then it talks about Santa flying in his magic sleigh, and then it tells us that it's Christmas all over the world tonight. That's pretty much the song. Let's have another little bit. Come on, here it comes. When Santa's flying in his magic sleigh. Now, what's tricky about this song is that there isn't much I can tell you, really. I can tell you it was sung by Sheena Easton, and I can tell you it was from the movie Santa Claus the Movie, which is still hugely popular in the UK, not so popular outside of the UK, by all accounts. It was a bit of a flop when it came out. I think it did well in the UK, because it's still being shown. That's an interesting fact about Santa Claus the Movie. Christmas Day this year, we've got like the two main channels, okay? You've got BBC One and you've got ITV. Those are like the two main terrestrial, as you'd call them, channels in the UK. And at 3 o'clock, that's when they like bring out their big movies, like the big movie of the year. Now, I can't remember what BBC had. It was probably a Pixar film or something. ITV showed Santa Claus the Movie at 3 p.m. That's like after the Queen's speech. That's when they bring out the big film. It used to always be a James Bond film in the old days, like when I was growing up. I remember like ITV would show a James Bond film on Christmas Day. This year, they show it every year, Santa Claus the Movie, normally in the morning. This year, they decided to show it like the prime family viewing slot. I don't know what's going on there, because everyone must have seen it a lot of times. I don't know if anyone watched it this year, having that on. Because we watch it every year, but I've got it on DVD and we just chuck it on in the morning. Anyway, this isn't about the film. So, oh, just another aside. There is, if you're interested in that film, check out Santa by the Minute podcast by John and Ben. They do a fantastic 1 minute at a time podcast about that. I've been listening to it. They haven't got long left, actually. I think we're down to like the last 15 minutes of the film. But you should check out that podcast, because it is loads of fun if you're a fan of the film. If you're not a fan of the film, you should still check it out, but you might not get much out of it. Anyway, back to the song. Let's hear a little bit more.
My dreams would all come true.
the song was written by Bill House and John Hobbs, and I can't tell you any other songs they've written because I saw some by John Hobbs, didn't recognise any of them, didn't see any others by Bill House, so I can't say much more about that. But when they wrote it, they had Freddie Mercury in mind to sing it. And when I listen to this, I sort of think, yeah, I can imagine Freddie Mercury having a go at this one. And apparently, he did do a demo of the song, recorded it at Pinewood Studios, but he couldn't make a full commitment to the project. And this is around the same time when Queen were going to be doing the soundtrack to the Highlander film. I think it was a little bit after they'd done the Flash Gordon soundtrack. And I think they sort of didn't want to get too much into just doing songs for films. So ultimately, they chose Sheena Easton to sing it. And if you're not familiar with Sheena Easton, because I bet a few younger ones out there have never heard of her, she sung this song. It's called 9 to 5. Baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5, and then he takes another home again to find him waiting for him. Here's an aside. Originally, that song was released as 9 to 5, but they changed the title to Morning Train, so you didn't get it confused with the Dolly Parton version. She also sung one of the James Bond themes. There's this one. That was her as well. So that's Sheena Easton. This is her song. It seems, from what I can see, that this song actually was released as a single, but it failed to chart. I don't know if it was released in the UK, but from what I can see on Sheena Easton's discography, this didn't chart wherever it was released. So yeah, there's that. And that's pretty much all I can tell you about it, apart from this. And I think you might find this interesting. So the only cover version, or the only prominent cover version I can find, was by New Edition. Now, New Edition were like an R&B band from the early 80s. Their biggest hit was Candy Girl, which got to number one here in the UK. And I think it got to like top five or something in the US. Got to number two in New Zealand, but did fairly well all around the world. You should recognise that song. Bobby Brown. You know, Bobby Brown was married to Whitney Houston and it had like a solo career. He was in New Edition, and they released a Christmas EP called It's Christmas All Over the World, and they had a cover of this song on that EP. Here it is. Now, what is amazing about this is that that EP was released in 1985, and 1985 is the year that Santa Claus the Movie came out. Santa Claus the Movie was released late November 1985, and then on the 18th of December, they released this EP. It's like before the song had even become like a classic. It's not a classic anyway, but before, like, yeah. So I'm just really surprised that that's how it happened. I'm be interested to know how they got hold of the song and why they decided to have it on their EP. But there you go. The only other thing I want to say is that was the last release from New Edition that Bobby Brown was on, and then they kicked him out because he was sort of being a bit reckless and that. And then they let him back in the band about 10 years later, I think. So yeah, so something, innit? So I think you should go out and listen to this glorious song. If you like the New Edition, have a listen to that. Or personally, I much prefer the Sheena Easton one. And I say, stick this on your Christmas playlist. Or don't, you know, it's up to you. Now it's time for this.
Book review, book review.
Christmas.
Book review.
So me, calling out Frank the Tank in the last episode has actually inspired another one of my correspondents to get in touch with some stuff, and it is Benji Pearson, our American Scandinavian correspondent. He sent an email through. It says, "I do apologise that the reporting efforts from the American Scandinavian department have been hit and miss the past few months." When he says hit and miss, it's all miss, because there's been nothing. So it's not really hit and miss, Benji. It's more like radio silence. The research and writing staff all had to be let go, and we're working on restaffing. Okay, I hope they're not expecting to get paid. So, yeah, this is Benji's book review. I'm just going to read it out as he sent it through. Here we go. "For my American Scandinavian report, I would like to suggest a book recommendation. The book comes from the American Girls Doll Collection, and they follow the lives of fictional American girls at different points in American history. In our house, our favourite is the collection about a Swedish girl named Kirsten, which is my daughter's name. Kirsten and her family are immigrants to the United States from Sweden. The holiday book for the collection is called Kirsten's Surprise. Here is the Amazon summary. Kirsten and her family will be celebrating their first Christmas in America. Kirsten wants to keep some of their old Swedish traditions alive in the new country, so she secretly plans a St. Lucia celebration. But everything depends on a trip to town with Papa, and he's too busy to leave the farm. At last they go and get caught in a terrible blizzard. It's up to Kirsten to keep herself and Papa safe through the night. When she finally gets home, the candles in the little cabin glow with a special holiday warmth. If you know anything about Swedish Christmas traditions, you will enjoy this book and the twist it takes as Kirsten works with what she has in the American West. It really is a fun, short and heartwarming story that could be read on its own as a Christmas story." At the end he's put, "The books are out of print, but you can read nearly the entire story on this website," and it's an American Girl fandom site, and I will put a link to that on Facebook. "But also, I've had a look on eBay, and you can pick up a copy for like £3. And I got to say, this actually does sound like quite an interesting old book. I did read the shorter version on the American Girl fandom site, and it's nice. And they cover what it's like back in the pioneer days in the old West, of what it would be like from coming from Scandinavia to living in the States and trying to keep your traditions alive with what you have there in the US back in the 1800s. So, yeah. Thank you very much for sending through your book review, Benji. I really do appreciate it. I hope you all enjoyed it. Yeah, go and get a copy. Now it's time for this. It's time for another fantastic, I said that in air quotes, by the way. It's time for another fantastic joke from my Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes book. And here it comes. Are you ready? I don't care if you're ready. I don't even know why I asked. Here's the joke. What is the difference between St. George and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? One slays a dragon, the other is dragging a sleigh. Eh? That's not bad, actually. I mean, it's not funny, but it's clever. You got to give them that. Yeah, let's give them that. That can be their Christmas present.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is an episode of the TV show The George Burns Comedy Week, and each episode would be like a different story, and George Burns would present... Do you know what? He didn't do a lot, to be honest. He was there at the start, and he was there at the end, and occasionally in other episodes, not this one, he'd do like a voiceover. But that was it. Yeah, so, you know, I'm guessing he didn't write it or anything. But when it came out, he was like 89, so he was ancient, really. No offence if you're 89. You know, if you're 89 and you're thinking, I'm not ancient, you sort of are, really. No offence, you know. Yeah, now the series didn't really do that well, and it was only 13 episodes. And this is the only episode of it I've seen. And if this is anything to go on, you know, it's not great. But it's all right. Now, this isn't actually A Christmas Carol. This is A Christmas Carol 2, the sequel. And it's set 1 year after Scrooge has been visited by the ghost. So he's still this lovely guy. Scrooge himself is played by a chap called James Whitmore. Now, he was a character actor. He's been in loads of stuff. But the only thing that I recognised that he'd been in was The Shawshank Redemption. And he plays Brooks, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Of course you have. Everyone's seen The Shawshank. If you haven't, go and see The Shawshank Redemption. Don't listen to this podcast. Go and watch The Shawshank Redemption. He was the librarian in it. He had like a pet crow that he had with him. Anyway, that's the only thing I recognised that he'd been in, or at least I recognised him from. And he plays Scrooge, does a very good job of it. You know, he comes in, he's really nice. And I'll lead you through the story as it goes. So it starts off, Scrooge is there, he's being really nice to people. We've got Bob Cratchit, and he's played by Roddy McDowall. Roddy McDowall's been in loads of stuff. Is it worth me even saying, listing the things he's been in? I'm not going to, but he's been in loads of stuff. He was in Planet of the Apes, played one of the apes. But he's been in loads of stuff. So his wife comes in, Cratchit's wife. She comes in, and Scrooge like kisses her under the mistletoe, and that's great. And then Scrooge gives Cratchit a massive Christmas bonus. And then Tiny Tim turns up with a bunch of other people. I don't know who they are. They look a bit old to have been Bob Cratchit's other kids, but we're not sort of told who they are. And anyway, Scrooge goes up to Tiny Tim and gives him some coins and that. And this is my favourite joke in the whole show. Here we go. This is Mrs. Cratchit.
Say thank you to your Uncle Tim.
I don't want to.
Oh, do you know what? I found that really funny. To be honest, that's pretty much... There's only two jokes in it that I actually liked, and that was one of them. So then Scrooge goes off, and he gives a tip to these guys that work in a pub or some restaurant or something. And this is mildly funny, and they say this.
This is the most extravagant tip we have ever received.
Well deserved, Mr. Lardington.
And you never even eat it.
Which, you know, fair enough. And then he goes to the baker's, where he's going to buy some stuff, and... His nephew Fred turns up at this point, and his nephew Fred is played by a chap called James Widdows, and he played Robert Hoover in Animal House, and he's 6'6". So it's really interesting the way they filmed this, because he's towering above Scrooge. I don't think this was meant to be a joke, but the way they filmed it, it's sort of like sort of filmed it where Scrooge is sort of looking up at him to make him seem even taller. I don't know why they did that. I don't really care. But do you know, when I was watching it to begin with, I thought, is he standing on a step? Is that why he's so much taller? But no, he was just incredibly tall compared to Scrooge. Yeah, Scrooge says, you know, I'll be round to see you tomorrow and I'll bring you presents and stuff like that. That's very nice. And then Scrooge goes home. When he goes home, we see like the face and the door knocker, but Scrooge just sort of like walks straight past it. He doesn't actually see the face. Then there's a mildly funny bit when he's sending his housekeeper off on holiday to go and see her sister, and he's bought like a bus ticket, and she's like, but I hate my sister. He's like, but you go and see her every Christmas. She's like, yes, that was only to get away from you, but now you're nice, I want to stay. He's like, no, you're gonna be fine. He like packs her off and he's kicking out the door, and he's like, yeah, that was it, like I say, mildly funny. Yes. Then Scrooge goes up to bed, and who should turn up but Jacob Marley. What's really interesting about this is Jacob Marley looks pretty much like a tramp or a bum, as you might call him. He's like, I've never seen him like this in a version at all before. He's got a beard, and I don't think I've ever seen a Jacob Marley with a beard, but it's like a scruffy old beard. He's got scruffy hair and that, and he's carrying his chains and stuff, and he's saying, oh, you're going to be visited by three ghosts, pretty much the same as the other time, you know. And Scrooge says, oh, I hate Christmas Eve. It's like, well, don't say that, because half an hour ago you were loving it, so don't, you know. Anyway, that's Jacob Marley. It's a very short scene. There it is, you know. Sorry, I should have said Jacob Marley's played by Paul Benedict, who I didn't recognise, but you know, you might have heard of him. He's been in loads of stuff, but I still don't recognise him. Then the Ghost of Christmas Past turns up, and she's remarkably attractive, actually, won't lie to you. And then she's talking really quietly, and he says this.
I have a cold.
Right, that's fine. Is that a joke? I don't know. Anyway, the reason I mention that, I'll come back to it later. She only takes him back to the last Christmas, and it's the morning when he's talking to the boy in the street. And when I say it's the boy in the street, he's a man. I don't know who the actor is. I looked on IMDb. It came up as Urchin. Maybe that was him, but I could be wrong. Anyway, I don't know how old he is. It's got to be at least 20. And that's the oldest I've ever seen the boy in the street. Anyway, it shows us that clip of when Scrooge was, you know, giving the kid money and that. And there's not much relevance to it, to be honest. What is interesting, though, is it's like they're in the street watching and his bed is still behind him. I don't know why the bed went with him. The bed never goes with the Ghost of Christmas Past. I don't know. That happened. Then, who should turn up? Have a guess? Well, you know, don't you? It's the Ghost of Christmas Present. And he is dressed like Henry VIII. I don't know why. Rather than like the robe like you expect him to be wearing, he's dressed literally like Henry VIII, you know. Big guy he is. Played by a guy called Severn Darden, who, another one, I don't know if I recognised or not. He looked sort of half familiar. Anyway, this is a bit more involved. So they take him. They don't actually go, actually. They're laying on the bed together, him and the Ghost of Christmas Present. And he opens the curtains of the bed and he's sort of looking out onto the scenes that he goes to. So the way they've done the bit with the Ghost of Christmas Present is the scenes he's looking at are actually continuations of the scenes we saw earlier. So the first one is him at his counting house, and the second one is him at the baker's when he sees nephew Fred. Like I said, first scene is him at the counting house, and the first thing that happens is a chap called Sneevil comes in. Now Sneevil's played by a chap called Larry Hankin, and I recognised him straight away because he was in an episode of Seinfeld, and he's the chap who's going to play Kramer's character when they're filming the pilot for the Seinfeld TV show, if that makes sense to you. I don't know if you remember, but he sort of steals a box of raisins. No? Oh, it sticks in my head anyway. If you're a Seinfeld fan, you'll recognise it. He also played Mr. Heckles in a few episodes of Friends as well. And he was a neighbour and he lived in the same building as Joey and Chandler and Monica and Rachel. And I think he died in one of the episodes. I think he used to write greetings cards, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway, that's what I recognised him from. Very recognisable actor. And it turns out he's getting a loan from Scrooge because no one else will lend to him because he's just got out of prison. And he makes it pretty clear that he's not going to pay it back. Then Cratchit's wife is trying to get a loan for her sister who wants to buy a pub in the middle of nowhere where there's no houses or anything interesting. And then there's a bit where Cratchit starts taking advantage of him as well. And from earlier scenes, I didn't think Cratchit was going to be like this, but yeah, I'll play a bit of it for you.
And Cratchit, I'll see you here first thing Monday morning. Thank you.
Oh, well, Mr. Scrooge, sir, I was hoping to take care of some personal matters on Monday.
Oh, well, Tuesday's got a day as Monday to start the week, I suppose. I'll see you then.
Tuesday, I've got to go to the doctor.
After lunch, then?
No, it's an afternoon appointment.
Ah. What about Wednesday?
Oh, the doctor
lives in Liverpool.
Where?
Sussex.
Huh?
Maidenhead.
Huh?
Kent.
Wherever, I suppose you can be here by Thursday.
Thursday? Oh, no, the appointment's on Thursday. Did I say Wednesday?
Yes.
I meant Thursday.
Well, Friday's as good a day as any to start the week. First thing Friday morning.
Yeah, fine. I have to leave at 2.
So there you go. So then it cuts to Scrooge, who's watching this, and he's like, oh, do you think they're taking advantage of me? Yeah, of course they blimmin' are. Then we go back to the scene the previous day where he was talking to the baker and nephew Fred turned up, and it sort of carries on that scene after Scrooge has walked off, and the baker explains that he charges Scrooge 5 times more than anyone else because Scrooge will pay it, and Fred's like, oh, I can't believe you're taking advantage of him. That's pretty much that. The Ghost of Christmas Present goes. Then it's the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. So the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come turns up. And Scrooge is like, oh, dreadful apparition. Oh, last time you were here, you didn't speak a word to me. Oh, and he says this.
I had a cold.
There you go. Bit of a callback, I suppose. Now, the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is dressed more like a monk. He's got like a brown robe and you can sort of see a bit of his face. You don't see his whole face, but like the bottom half of his face. And he takes Scrooge off to see the future. Pretty much the future is Scrooge is buried in a pauper's grave. Actually, I did find it quite funny when they're at his grave because they've spelled his name wrong. Here, listen to this.
And they spelled my name wrong for all eternity. Ebenezer Scrooge.
And then we see all the people gathered round together in Scrooge's office. So all the characters are gathered round in Scrooge's office. And they're just talking about just generally how they all ripped him off, I guess. And now the business is being run by Tiny Tim. And this was the other line that I found very funny, actually. Here we go, listen to this.
And you're never, ever to call me Tiny Tim again.
What are we to call you?
Henceforth, I shall be called Tiny Timothy.
I like that. Now, the grown-up Tiny Tim is played by Ed Begley Jr., who, you know, we've all heard of him. Bet you couldn't name anything he's been in, though, could you? I think I could. I think he was in Meet the Deedles. Was it called Meet the Deedles? Meet the Applegates? Meet the something. Do you know, I just had a quick look at his credits. He's been in hundreds of things. And yes, it was Meet the Applegates. I doubt you saw that. I think it was some straight-to-video fair from the late 80s, where his family were sort of like aliens or prayer man. You know, who cares about that? Anyway, that's who plays the grown-up Tiny Tim, and he's like a real spoiled brat, and he's telling everyone how he's going to run the show with an iron fist. I'll just play his little speech at the end. Here it comes.
For the past 15 years, you've all grown fat in the extravagant habits of the late Ebenezer Scrooge. However, from this day forward, payments on all loans outstanding are due in this office on the first day of each month before noon, without exception. That applies to you as well, Mother. I'll not be taken advantage of. I assure you, I'm no Scrooge.
I like that end bit. I like the bit where he said, I'm no Scrooge. Because that is something people say, isn't it, in this day and age. And when you say, I'm no Scrooge, you mean, I'm not a tight git. So I like that. I thought that was clever. Not funny, but clever. And then Scrooge wakes up, and it's the final scene. It's Christmas Day, and he looks out the windows, and he sees the boy in the street, and this time, he sends him off. Do you know what? I'll play a bit more of it for you. Have a listen to this.
Boy!
Me, sir?
Yes, you! The unowned turkey that hangs in the market in the next street.
You mean the one as big as me?
Yes, the very one. No. I mean one small enough for the average family of six, including formerly lame boy that need much.
Oh, I understand, sir. And I have to take it by cab to the Cratchits as I did last year.
Absolutely not. No, carry it yourself. Not far.
There we go. And they sort of haggle about how much money he's going to give him. And then Scrooge gives him like a shilling instead of like half a crown or whatever, which I think is 2.5 shillings. So, you know, he's cut his prices from last year. And then the boy in the street says this.
You drive a hard bargain, Mr. Scrooge, but you're fair.
And I like that. I thought, do you know what I mean? He could have gone the other way, couldn't he? He could have reverted to being a right old Scrooge, but he didn't. So it's a nice ending. I thought the ending was good. It sort of tied it up. It was all right. I like that. And then it's the very end, and you've got George Burns giving some very, very bad jokes, and that's the end. And that's pretty much it. One thing I wanted to say is, I should have said this at the start, really, but I don't know if you remember, last year I did a radio drama I talked about that was like a sequel to Scrooge, and it was very similar, but in that one, Scrooge really did go to pieces, and he ended up giving everything away, and he died. I forget how he died. Was it like, did he freeze to death or something? Something awful happened. It was pretty bad, the ending was. I remember that. Whereas this one had a good ending. You know, now I'm not a fan of this idea. You know, I don't really feel like you can carry on a story like A Christmas Carol, because A Christmas Carol is so set. That's the story. You know what it is. And trying to add to that, I don't think it works. But as a bit of fun, this one was all right. It was all right. The jokes generally were pretty naff. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot more jokes that I could have played you, but I didn't find them funny. So I'm not going to bore you with them. But when Mrs. Cratchit says, Tiny Tim, say thank you. I don't want to. Found that funny. Yeah. So there's not much else I can say about it, really. If you want to go and watch it, it's on YouTube. And it's harmless. You know, I'll put a link on Facebook like I always do. And if you want to watch it, watch it. If you don't want to watch it, obviously don't watch it. You know, I'm not forcing you. I haven't got a gun to your head, have I? So that is this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. To be honest, this is one where I would say check it out. It's only about 25 minutes and yeah, it's all right. It's worth a look. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is get a good night's sleep. You'll feel so much better if you do. I highly recommend it. A good night's sleep. You know, not super early. I'm not saying go to bed at 8 o'clock. You know, that's a bit slovenly. Maybe 10 o'clock. You know, if you're in bed by 9:30, maybe read for a little bit and then a good night's sleep. That is this episode's recommendation. I highly recommend it. Go out, get a good night's sleep. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. I want to say a big thank you to Frank the Tank and Benji Pearson for sending in their contributions to the show. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, if you want to, I don't know, do something, you know, like drop me an email, go on Facebook, leave a review, you can do that if you want. I just do what you want, you know what I mean? I don't care, it's your life. But I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Do you know why I love you? Because you're you. That's why. Merry Christmas.